Slight overlap with what Neil said today. And I know Yakir has been trying hard to convince us that we shouldn't be slave of mathematics. Unfortunately, I'm a slave of math. So, sorry, Yakir, I know you are the master of mathematics, so you can't say that, but. So my talk would be rather mathematical, but I try to convey the concept behind it. This is a work I have been doing recently, and I have to apologize my colleagues in Chapman. They have heard it a few times. It's okay if you want to leave. I want to have your feedback, in particular Neil, who is here. So I want to talk about conformal fluctuations and instability of space, flat space, with respect to this conformal quantum fluctuations. So this work was inspired by an initial work by David Gross, Broth, and Dovit, Nalikar, and Padmanabhan. So let me just quickly remind you that what I'm trying to do here is, as Eli mentioned, so all of you are hopefully familiar with this equation, which is the Einstein equation. So the classical equation says whatever geometry you have here can be connected to, I would say, physics. So basically, Einstein equations shows this connection between geometry and physics. Interestingly, in gravity, we have 2 degrees of freedom. And because we were not able to, usually when people are trying to quantize gravity, as Neil said it a couple of weeks ago, there is a more formal way, and there is a more pragmatical way. So the pragmatical way is to consider semi-classical gravity, so in which now I'm replacing that equation and just quantizing whatever physics I have on the right-hand side. So I would be in this formalism. Now the problem is, since there are 2 degrees of freedom, I can consider 1 degree of freedom to be in the conformal part of the gravity. So what I mean by that? So I'm going to define a flat metric like that, and then I can find still Neil's handwritings over there. A metric which is conformal to flat. This omega squared is my conformal factor, and in general, it could be a function of space-time. Now, I'm claiming that any departure from flatness is a departure from classical gravity. So I want to quantize this 1 degree of freedom in the conformal field. So in order to do that, I'm considering the following action. Which is the usual Einstein-Hilbert action. And I add a scalar field, massive scalar field. So this is function of space-time again, for instance. And in order to couple it to gravity conformally, I take this factor also. And M is the mass of the scalar field. Okay. Now, if I do the conformal transformation, which life's easier for me now, I do the following conformal transformation, as Neil said, for this particular action. So namely, if I say that my phi would be just the omega inverse C, and then the metric would transform like what Neil wrote here, then I have a simpler action to write. So now my action would be the simple action. Okay. In which I have to tell you what psi is. So psi is my conformal degree of freedom. And also I have to define for you what alpha g is, which is my coupling constant here. And this is the action I have. So if I do a simple Euler, I mean, just varying this action, and I do the Euler-Lagrange equation, I end up to have these two equations, coupled equations, okay? That was a trick that Matt showed us yesterday. Thank you, Matt. Information coming from the past this time. So these are the evolution of both my phi field, which is my scalar field, massive scalar field, and also my the evolution for the conformal factor. Now, what I'm going to do here is, first of all, I'm going to assume this is the expectation value of the fluctuations of the vacuum, and I am able to regularize this, so it's that's okay. And then you can see for yourself that if the universe is flat, that means psi is constant. So if psi is constant, let's say m over alpha g, as you can see from equation 2, I immediately see that the only solution is the vacuum solution.
Equal zero?
Sorry. The equal sign was in my mind, sorry. So phi squared is equal to zero. That's coming from this equation, simple. Now what I want to do here is to look at a small perturbation against this conformal factor. So I'm gonna assume that at some time, globally, I'm gonna turn on this fluctuation to my conformal field, epsilon of t, which is non-zero for any time larger than zero, and it is, of course, zero for any time smaller than zero. I'm gonna use these two equations a lot, so for a reference, I'm gonna keep it there. And I'm gonna consider two cases here. Case one, which reduces this quantum field theoretic problem to just simple quantum mechanics problem, is the homogeneous case that I'm gonna assume that my field is homogeneous. It's just function of time, it's not function of space. So if phi is function of time, again, I'm using another thing that I know Yakir is in love with, using the Heisenberg picture here. So if I use the Heisenberg picture, to look at the evolution of my field, so I get a simple harmonic motion type of equation. So to the linear term in epsilon, because epsilon is a really small perturbation, this is the equation I get. So now I want to see whether this perturbation will grow without a bound, or they stay small. If they grow without without a bound, then we will see later, this has a meaning. And the meaning is that my spacetime would be unstable against these type of fluctuations. Remember, this is departure from flatness. So now if I use Green function to solve this simple harmonic motion in quantum mechanics, you get the usual solution, which for the sake of time, I'm not going to write it, but what you're going to... Okay, what you're going to end up to see is, let me write it actually, I have to write this. So phi of t would look like this. It would be 1 over square root of 2m, a of t, and 1 over square root of 2m, and then I would have a of t minus 2 alpha g . So these are the solution to phi of t. Of course, this would be for t smaller than zero, and this is for t positive. Okay? Now I have to back, and if you put it back into this equation to see what I get for my phi squared term here, so I have to look at the consistency check. If I look at this, and then, of course, renormalize it, then I get this answer for my renormalized vacuum. Okay. So now I want to insert this back to my equation 2 and see how psi evolves with time. Okay, so if I do that, I will end up to get the following equation for epsilon. So epsilon double dot of t is 1 half m alpha g squared sine 2mt plus 1 half m alpha g squared integral over t prime, and then okay, I forgot to define what a is, so a of t is a e to the I m t plus a dagger e to the minus I m t. So a and a dagger, they have their usual meanings. Okay, so how can I solve this? The best way to solve this equation for epsilon of t is to look at the Laplace transformation of that that equation. So if I do that, if I look at the Laplace transformation, I get after a little bit of algebra, I get a simple answer. So I get 1 half m alpha g epsilon dot of 0 l of s. I'm going to define L of s in a moment for you.
1 minus 1 half m alpha g L of s.
So what is L of s actually? That would be the Laplace transformation of the sine. And this has a very simple solution, at least in this, for the homogeneous case,
would be 2m over s squared plus m squared.
Okay? Okay, thank you. So, now, what can I say about this?
By the way, your Persian is extremely good.
So in order to look at this, there are many ways to look at the solution, but I want this epsilon of t to grow without a bound. In order to see that is to see the poles of epsilon double dot of s, a real poles, actually. So if epsilon double dot of s has real poles for s, for real s, sorry, if it has poles for real s, then this will grow without a bound. So Laplace theory would tell me that in order to do that, it suffices for me to look at L max, which is L of 0 here. And this has a very simple solution, which would be 1 over 2m. So now the condition to have poles on real s-axis is to have 1/2 m alpha g L of 0 to be larger than 1, larger than or equal 1. Okay? So if I do that and I replace the definition for alpha g, I get a very simple solution. The solution would be the following. So I get that the mass of scalar field here should be larger than or equal 3 pi divided by g, but I want to restore my C and H bar. And as you know, this is just the mass of the Planck squared. So what does it say? It says that either these conformal fluctuations cannot be originated, or if they originate, they would produce a super heavy bosons. Okay? This is the Planck mass, and this is almost almost larger than the Planck mass. Now, I can redo this problem, since I don't have time. I can redo this problem for the general case, in which phi would be phi of x and t this time. Of course, now I have a full quantum field theoretic problem. I have to decompose the Fourier decomposition of my field. I do the same thing. And if I do the Laplace transformation, this time, interestingly, I find out that, again, the order of magnitude is more or less the same. So the particles which we produce after this instability in the flat space would be 36 pi times h bar c over g. So my conclusion would be the following. Either if you start with a completely homogeneous scalar field or a general scalar field, which is conformally mapped to my gravity, then there is a possibility for these quantum fluctuations to grow, these conformal quantum fluctuations to grow. And the condition is the mass of these scalar fields would be more than the mass of the the Planck mass. So if they are smaller, there is no chance for the universe to transit to other geometries. So now what I want to end here is the following. So I know if, let's say, my scalar field is massive enough to produce this kind of instability in my spacetime. Now the question is, what type of geometry I'm going to end up? So that is the part that I want to look at, the Yakir's formalism. And let's say, suppose I know my final state. I know my initial state, which is from Minkowski spacetime, so it's a flat spacetime. And if I know my final state, then that would tell me what type of fluctuations I should need to have a kind of, you know, creating a universe, a baby universe here, or I can also justify some of the local astrophysical effects with this instability of the conformal fluctuations, like, I don't know, gamma ray bursters or things like that. It's just the instability of the vacuum against this conformal fluctuations. So that was all. Thank you, guys.
So you seem to be saying flat space is unstable.
Against this conformal fluctuation. So I'm just perturbing it, remember.
Right.
So I'm saying if omega is not constant or is not 1, because if it's constant, I can always renormalize my coordinates.
Right.
So if anything rather than 1, then yeah, the flat space is completely unstable.
So
but modulo to this masses of the flat.
So does it apply to asymptotically flat space? Or just say asymptotically, this is Minkowski space time, got a region of space,
yes.
And it will go on space.
Yes.
So that is incompatible with positive energy theorem.
I know.
So something went wrong.
I know that.
I'm aware of that.
But you know, again, I know that you are familiar.
Energy is conserved.
Well, you know.
You violate.
Well, that's the reason I told you. I mentioned a secret name that you know, and that's Gandikar. So I was also thinking of, you know, kind of connecting with his Hoyle-Gandikar C field.
Something in your calculation is violating energy conservation.
Here, no,
I'll say that. No, why? Because energy, you started off with a state of zero energy.
Yes.
It went unstable.
Well, that is
any state that is not the Minkowski time is positive energy. So it's just impossible to transition that state to a positive energy.
That's I agree with that. So,
so this seems to.
But this is very much also, this is like the, you know, bird from nothing in this.
No, that's why I said, is it asymptotically Minkowski? And you said yes. That
yeah.
Means it's stable.
So I'm looking at the patch of
It's easy to see where you might have gone wrong, because even in classical gravity, the only dynamical degrees of freedom around the flat space-time are gravitational waves.
That's
but
right.
You've somehow got an independent degree of freedom, which is a conformal fact.
Yeah, so I'm ignoring the gravitational waves here. Right?
Yeah, but
so
the conformal fact is not dynamical. It's usually removed by the constraint, the G00 equals T00. That constraint should be enough to eliminate kind of conformal as a fluctuation around that space.
Well,
so.
No, people have considered this a long time ago, I guess, to just look at the conformal, quantum conformal fluctuations. As I mentioned, David Gross and Braut and also Dovitt, they look at the conformal fluctuations. So I'm sure that.
Not real degrees of freedom of gravity. Gravity only has to spin two.
There are two degrees of freedom, I'm just quantizing one of them.
No, the conformal is a scalar. It's zero.
I know, I understand, but see, I'm saying any departure. So let's say if. I'm starting from nothing, which is the quantum vacuum, and I want to create a universe out of nothing.
But you seem to have flat space time as a background. I don't really understand.
It's conformal, it's not completely flat. I'm saying if omega stays
flat space time,
yes.
Allowing the metric to fluctuate.
Exactly.
Okay.
But only.
So classically, there's no such degree of freedom.
Classically, yes, yeah. I agree.
In pure gravity.
Yeah.
But they're writing your model. You're writing an equation which has no trivial solution. So somehow you've lost one of the constraints in GR. What's it going to involve sometimes?
Not as much as I'm aware of, but we can talk about this.
Nothing to talk about. Any further questions? Yes, one more, please.
Well, I think it's along the same lines, but isn't there a result from, I think, the late late 90s and Christodoulou and Kleinerman on the stability of flat space?
On the stability.
No, stability. The stability. Show that this flat space is stable under small gravitational perturbations, and the perturbations just of the space-time.
I'm not sure exactly what paper you're referring to. I'm not aware of that.
Well, so you can refer to referring to.
I can show you later.
Yeah,
but I think it's related to Neil's. It's probably
well,
two sides of
the I know people have looked at the stability of flat space,
but it was not against the conformal fluctuations. So this is a little bit different than what usually people consider.
Right, because they're considering only fluctuations that are gravitational. And
right.
There is room for one more comment, Roman?
Just a comment. Another possibility is that maybe because he's considering only the small term in epsilon, maybe epsilon squared term will rescue that instability. So what Neil says, there's a contradiction. But I don't know. He didn't check to all orders.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
All right. I believe we have earned our coffee. Let's thank our speaker.